And let us pray. Gracious Father, we do give you thanks and praise that because of Christ you have given us and poured out grace upon grace, and that you sent your Son to redeem us, Lord, and make us sons and daughters and heirs. And I pray that you would impress upon us that reality, Lord, your coming and your redemption, Lord, more and more illuminate yourself to us. But we give you thanks this morning. As we open your word, we pray that you would illuminate it afresh to us and for us, Lord. And that in all things, you might be made much of. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. Well, today is the fourth day of Christmas. Everyone loves some crowd participation, right? So today, your true love gave to you. I can't hear anything. Four calling birds. That's right. Did any of you say that? You're like, I didn't get anything from my true love. That's why I didn't say anything. Which actually is said to represent the four Gospels. Some say that the song was written to encode important parts of the Catholic Catechism. However, originally, this was probably not the case. However, now, there are Christian symbols that have been associated with and attached to the 12 days of Christmas. Let me give you some of them. Day one, a partridge in a pear tree. The partridge represents Jesus Christ. Why? A partridge is willing to risk its life to protect its babies by faking injury or illness to distract predators. The bird is willing to sacrifice itself for the sake of others, much like, again, our Savior Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life to redeem and restore his people. Two turtle doves represent the Old and New Testament that tell the story of God rescuing his people from their sin. You may be reminded that two turtle doves are also a good gift. They were a gift from Mr. E.F. Duncan to Kevin in Home Alone 2. And they make a great gift for remembering a lonely Central Park pigeon lady who was unwilling, to get her heart hurt again in relationships. I think that one is actually better than the first. If you want to talk about that, we can do that after the service. Three French hens. The hens represent faith, hope, and love. Hey, you're caught up to speed. You probably already know this, but let me highlight some pieces of the church calendar. We are in the first three seasons of the church calendar, which are Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, make up what is called the cycle of light. In Advent, we anticipate light. Isaiah 9:2 states, a great light is coming. And John 1:9, true light coming into the world. During Christmas, we celebrate that light has come in the incarnation. And during Epiphany, January 6th, the light of a star reveals Jesus to the young Jesus to the king, Gentiles. Isaiah 9:2, again, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. So today we continue to celebrate Christmas, these 12 days of Christmas. And this light that has arrived. At Christ's birth, we could say that the world was dark. There was abuse of power. There was murder and death. There was oppression, abject poverty, political strife, sickness, disease, depression, displacement, and fear. It sounds much like today. But Paul writes, which Tracy just read for us in Galatians 4, Verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Amid darkness, Christmas is the one time of the year that we wrap our houses and our workspaces, our exterior bushes and trees. We adorn our hearths with lights. We light candles. We go look at other houses and places adorned with lights. This is a good practice and a reminder in light of what we attest to at Christmas. 1 John 1:5, that God, first of all, is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And likewise, Christ is light. Christmas is a season of light and hopefully a time of wonder. This is from Carol 3, a Mexican 17th century poem. Let me read it to you. Today you see in a stable the word speechless. Greatness in smallness. Immensity in blankets. Such wonders. He who had no beginning, his being of time begins. The Creator as a creature is now subject to our griefs. Such wonders. Today in our gospel reading, for the first Sunday of Christmas, there is a description from John of wonder and light. We read this morning about this light-filled and life-giving gift from the Father of lights. That's a reference to James chapter 1. Who is sending his life and light into the world. You can open to John chapter 1 if you'd like. Hopefully our lights will stay on this morning. We read this morning, in him, in this eternal word who has existed with God, who was God, stretching back into eternity past, who made all things, in him. This is verse 4. Jesus Christ, there was life. And this life was the light of men. Jesus affirms this. He says this of himself in John 12. I have come into the world as what? Light. That so whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I think it's an important question to ask. According to the Gospels, what was Jesus' own conception of himself? How did he view his own identity? Jesus saw himself as light. In John 8, he says, this is verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light again of life. Jesus affirms and attests to this. And if this is true, the reality of this light, this eternal Logos or Word, who, verse 3, has created all things, then he illuminates our lives and our world with what is true and good. And everything is refracted through him. I'm reminded here of the C.S. Lewis quote that I've mentioned times before. He wrote, quote, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The word who has made worlds and through whom all things were made. Again, this eternal word moves from any abstraction, and the word has become concrete. Word has become flesh. This word has a face, a a body, and a name. John 14, John says, we have seen his glory. In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, we have God descend in a cloud. His glory is before Moses on Sinai. And God stood and proclaimed his name to Moses. What did he say? Hesed, grace or loving kindness, and Emet, truth. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, quote, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. John is saying here, just as God is grace and truth, so Jesus as God in the flesh is this. God gave the law, the covenant of promise in glory to Moses. We have been given God in flesh, a promise and glory in Christ. God has made him known, John says. Again, we have seen his glory. The commentator R.T. France puts it like this. Now Jesus, as the Word made flesh, is a thorough, concrete embodiment of the very nature of God. He is God expressed in human form. Verse 4, in Jesus was life, that life was the light of men. On the first Sunday of Christmas, you are invited into this great mystery and to be illuminated and to know this light. You might ask, in what ways? What does this light do? How am I to know this light? Let me give us some observations that I think might be quite obvious. The first thing about light is it's illuminating. It allows us to see. First, perhaps, see the interior man or woman that's in need of illumination that leads to life. Or renewal, or renovation and reviving. It also shows us that our world needs the same illumination, renewal, and renovation. We see our need for saving from something outside of ourselves. This true light comes into the world, verse 9. St. Augustine wrote in Confessions that, quote, the mind needs to be enlightened by light from outside itself so that it can participate in truth because it is not itself the nature of truth, close quote. God sent Christ into the world to show us what is true, namely that he is the truth. He is true. And in a world filled with deception, with our own propensities to what? To self-deception, to self-justification and denial. Do you know Christ is true? Are you willing to ask Jesus, Lord, show me where I'm self-deceived or just deceived? Perhaps we pray the Celtic prayer, Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. The Apostle John also tells us in 1 John 5:20, and we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus says, in essence, I want a relationship with you, to love you and to give you my life and my light? Would you let go of your lies? Here is some not so comfortable news about light, secondly. Light is exposing. The light comes to show us that we ultimately cannot be self-saving, that we cannot ultimately be autonomous, self-contained, or sufficient. I need saving because I'm not enough to save myself. And I've said this before, but some of us are working very hard and have been our whole lives to prove to everyone else and ourselves that we are enough. And I'm not. And you are not. And that's why we have the gospel. Because we're not enough to save ourselves, to pull ourselves up and out of lies. He is true, and He is the truth. We need His illuminating life and love, the love of a Savior who makes us suitable. He makes us suitable for His kingdom. Yes, light enhances our blemishes and dirt and grime and the areas that we have not attended to. Those things, as we say every week, that we have done and those things that we have left undone. And this is perhaps uncomfortable. And this exposure can lead us into a place of shame. But as things come to light, again, we have good news and life. The good news is that we are not consigned to being left alone in, again, quote, sin and darkness pining. We are not alone in trying to figure it out, in confusion and shame and guilt and our fears of failure and not being enough or maybe being too much. But do we sometimes settle for darkness? The bad news is, yes, light, yes, is exposing. It's also scorching. It withers and sends things scurrying. But this is the verdict or the judgment according to John. This is chapter 3, verse 19. John writes, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. He, Jesus, came to His own, yet they didn't know Him or receive Him. Do you want to cling to darkness, secrecy, isolation, and hiding? At times, I think if you're honest, we would all say, yes. But again, the call to all of us here, we are called to come out into the light. And lastly, concerning this light, concerning the good news. Verse 5, this light is victorious. Or we can say, this light is not overcome. In our world, and if I'm honest, I can certainly experience this. There can be a temptation to believe that the darkness will overtake and prevail. It can be all too easy for the darkness to obscure the cloud and the radiance of light, the light of Christ and the good news of the eternal Word made flesh. Because things can look bad, and they can look certainly dark. However, amid so much darkness, may we have confidence in the good, or He who is good, He who has brought the light of Himself into the world, despite, by some, not being received. If you come to Jesus, this illuminating light, you are. He gives to those who receive the right to become children of God. You say, but we're all children of God. No, we're not. What are you talking about? I'm quoting the Bible. Those who receive him are, according to John. I propose that this is the good news of Christmas and at Christmas, and not only Christmas, but now and always, that the light has come into the world to remake us into children of light. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 5:8. For at one time, you were darkness. Yikes. But now, you are light in the world. So what now? Paul says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. People of the Good Shepherd, say it again, Merry Christmas. May you be filled afresh with his light and him who is good, right, and true, and be renewed in his light as we pray. Break upon me like the dawn, O Lord, to give me your light this day and guide my feet into the way of joy and peace. And we all said, Amen. No, we all said Merry Christmas. I'm just kidding.